Good. Tonight, I'm wanting to talk a little bit about faith. Now that we're sort of in turbulent waters for a little while, it's actually an excellent place to practice. It sounds like, oh gee, that's not the case at all. Absolutely it is, because it's really a testing place to see whether or not we're actually committed to a practice of Buddha Dharma. And do we even know what that means? I'm a little bit disturbed when I talk to folks. I know, we did the beautiful Shin Shin Ming, and what does he say at the end? He says, "I say these words in vain, or I speak in vain." The others will talk about it. It's not something that I'm not aware of, because I remember my own progress and in the way. Certainly, I think anyone who has spent any time in Zen practice is aware that you can read things in the wild enthusiasm of your initial contact with Zen or Buddha Dharma, and you read it 5 years later, and it's like, geez, I didn't realize that was there. And then you read it 10 years later, and wow, I didn't know all of that was there. And I suspect, at least it's still true for me at 27 years of practice. It's still opening. Wow, what an amazing thing. I didn't realize it was there. And it's an interesting kind of thing. We actually, with a very selective manner, edit out. I know Roshi would say to me sometimes when I've been and talked to him, and it would be a little bit discouraged about something that had gone or something along those lines, and he would say, "Yogin, you can only hear what you can hear. See, and you can hear no more than that." But a concern, at least at this point for me, is the starting place in the practice of Buddha Dharma. I'm going to read here a little bit from Dogen, and I'm going to throw some thoughts in, my own thoughts, my own observations as we go along. And then from there I'll jump off. I'm going to try to keep this fairly short. But I'm going to jump off to faith in the way. Now, last Sunday we talked about the three essentials. Faith, great doubt, and determination. And I'm stunned by the number of people who have practiced for years, years, and still are in the dark about the initial step. It's just stunning to my mind. See, there's a few things that always we should be aware of. To study Buddhism is to study the self. Whatever you're experiencing, that's your reality. And you're experiencing that because it's your karma. And to the extent that people think it's out there impinging on me, that's delusion. That's separation. And that's what breeds all sorts of pain and suffering in the world today. And not just today, always. But let's go start off here. Maybe it'll fire me up a little more to talk with the Bendoa. On the endeavor of the way, Dogen starts by saying, all Buddha Tathagatas who directly transmit inconceivable Dharma and actualize supreme perfect enlightenment have a wondrous way, unsurpassed and unconditioned. Unconditioned. Now this is the great Dogen. And I can go to any sutra. I can go to any of the great masters. And they all say, Dogen is supposedly, I don't know this, I'm not sure that the English, I'm not skilled in these kinds of things, I'm not sure that this is what we would call elegant English. It's a translation that Roshi liked, Tanahashi's. I think Roshi still felt this was the best translation of Dogen. But I'm not sure that somebody would compare this writing itself to Shakespeare. But Dogen is supposedly exquisite. He's also genius in his use of the language. See? But they all say the same thing. It is unsurpassed and unconditioned. Unsurpassed. There's nothing beyond that. See, just take a Webster's dictionary understanding of that. It's unsurpassed. And it is unconditioned. Beyond causes and conditions. Non-thinking, non-attaining. This first line tells you what it is. Now, how many believe it? How many have heard my teacher? I don't know, he must have said it in the hundreds of thousands of times in the 27 years that I'd been with him. He would say it hundreds of times probably during the course of a talk, in just different forms. See, that's what your koans are. See, people who make a mystery out of it and fail to achieve anything with that, see? Each koan is looking essentially at the same thing, but from just a slight shift in perspective. Only Buddhas transmit it to Buddhas. That's kind of important. Only Buddhas transmit it to Buddhas. That makes it hopeless for you, doesn't it? Aren't you a sentient being? It's hopeless. You have no opportunity. See, only a Buddha can transmit to a Buddha. That should bring you into some despair. Unless, just unless, there is the slight possibility that you're a Buddha. Buddha, we're Buddhas in delusion now. But let's go on and see what he has to say. Only Buddhas transmit it to Buddhas without veering off self-fulfilling samadhi. Self-fulfilling samadhi. How many of us here think samadhi? We think this is something I conjure up. It's like exercising a muscle. Samadhi is just the settled state of mind, non-thinking, but where there's no effort, effortless, absolute present. I think that you all at least partially grasp the fact that you're present. And that sounds, it's a terrible way for me to say it. I am including myself. That's a generic. I'm including myself. See, I think we all have some understanding that we're someplace here now. I mean, we say those words. A lot of folks, use them. Titles of books, titles of paper. But I wonder, do they truly know this now? This self-fulfilling samadhi is its standard. Sitting upright, practicing Zen the way, is the authentic gate to the unconfined realm of this samadhi. This is the easiest way to work. And if your zazen is still a labor, it's because you're making a labor out of it. And maybe you don't have faith in the fact that you are intrinsically with no improvement needed, as you are a Buddha. But see, even there, there's a separation, a discrimination, that makes this nothing other than just delusional talk, but we're trying to point at something. Anyway, he goes on to say, although this inconceivable Dharma is abundant in each person, abundant meaning totally permeates all space, it is not actualized without practice, and it is not experienced without realization. Now, for some of us, see, who don't have a lot of faith, this might be encouraging, see, because the fact is there are people who have realized and actualized the way. Again, if Buddha Dharma is the study of the self, you have only yourself to blame if you don't progress in the way. Dogen has said, Yamada Roshi said, Yasutani said, and my teacher said, see, that it's a shoo-in. It's a literal guarantee, Yamada Roshi said, it's easier to miss the earth with a hammer than it is to miss the way. Dogen said, it's easier to raise your foot and stomp and miss the way. And yet they both say, but few, few will attain it. Why is that? I'll guarantee you there's none of you out here with a hammer that can make it miss the earth. I guarantee it. Oh, if you're quick and clever, you'll put it on top of a brick building. Or go put it on top of a pyramid. Say, see, Nyogen, it didn't touch the earth. Just wait around. See, it transcends. Will you wait around? I'll guarantee you that hammer will come down. I guarantee it, see. It's an impossibility. And yet we miss the way. But Dogen's going to cover that for us here. It is not actualized without practice. It is not experienced without realization. When you realize it, it fills your hand. How could it be limited to one or many? When you speak it, it fills your mouth. It is not bounded by length or width. Now understand that there are not a bunch of separate Buddhas coming to realization. There is this one great body. See, that's what some of the folks here, and I guess in a sense I'm expressing a little bit of my own kind of fatigue. See, but you don't come to a Zen center to argue your theories. You don't come to a Zen center to have somebody confirm your delusion. I confirm it right now. If anybody doubts whether or not we're in delusion, I confirm it. See, now that's all, we got that out of the way. Then are we interested in something other than that? If we are, then we have to pay particular attention to how we approach this practice, this most amazing practice. And part of it is, Soko was telling me she's been reading some of Sasaki Roshi's, I think, Zen is the Center of Gravity, I believe. Is that the name of that? See? In there, this is a Rinzai master. And Rinzai is punch you in the face. See? And what he says there, if you come here thinking I'm going to be nice to you, get the hell out. That's not my job, and you're not messing around the edges with me. Get out. My job is not to make you feel good. My job is to help you negotiate the way. It takes guts and determination. Rinzai shouting, see, the stick. Others punching, see. What were they doing? Gute, cutting off the finger, see. Ah! See. Bringing them to great enlightenment. Not an easy thing we're trying to do. And it's impossible if you don't have the first element of faith. And we'll get to it. See. All Buddhas continuously abide in it, but do not leave traces of consciousness in their illumination. That's the only difference between us and a Buddha. Traces of consciousness. Tozan's carrying the lady. How many of us actually practice in that way? See, do we feel that this is a game? See, where there's quarters and there's time out. This is your life. Well, I'm going to practice, but I need to step back a little bit from my life. Good luck. Just like that hammer, I'm going to guarantee you, you can't step back from your life. And the most frustrating part about it is you carry your head with you. So whatever limitations that you experience, those are your limitations. See, and here again, there is salvation because you're a Buddha. And the metaphor of the lotus blooming in the muddy pond is the realm of the senses. See, how many of us still reject this? Oh, we might give, you know, verbal support to it. We mouth it. We say it. Because it's trendy to have an intellectual understanding of Zen, but I think in here someplace Dogen will point out that it's folly, waste of time. Sentient beings now, we're not with Buddhas, we're with sentient beings, continuously move about in it. You can't avoid it. Continuously move about in it, but illumination is not manifest in their consciousness. See, in their deluded mind, it does not come through. And I don't care how superior your intellect. The concentrated endeavor of the way I am speaking of allows all things to come forth. It allows all things to come forth. listen, this is your only hope. See, maybe this only comes forth when it's good times, spring flowers are blooming. Maybe it doesn't come forth if you're lying in a hospital bed with cancer. Or if your doctor says, hey, your HIV has gone to full-blown AIDS. Maybe Buddha Dharma doesn't come forth there. That stinky, ugly, dirty stuff. My God, something as pure as Buddha Dharma certainly can't manifest here. But do you know what Dogen would tell you? See? That even a pile of shit is not outside of the way. There's a koan, shit stick. Someone's asked, what's Buddha? The old monk's response, shit stick. See, they clean them up even for us here. I told some of you, I think it was Dana Fraser, the translator, who was telling me that the Chinese, the old masters, see, he said, they smell of sweat and leather in the earth. He said, when you read their language, Joshu and his lip Zen. I've already shocked you. I won't put those of you with delicate sensibilities to shock again. But, you know, when he responded to the monk about, don't mess with my mind, he didn't say, please don't disturb the old monk. You know, he got an earful from old Joshu, see? Why? There's nothing outside of the way. Don't you get it? There is nothing outside of the way. To the degree that you can't grasp that point, you can't work with where you're living. And that's why a Buddha only transmits to a Buddha. There is no sentient being, how brilliant, does it matter, who has ever received transmission from a Buddha. Staggering, see. All things to come forth in enlightenment and practice. All things are transformed. All inclusiveness. Think of this. All inclusiveness without detachment. With detachment, sorry. Everything. But I'm not attached to anything. What did we read on one of the most exquisite pieces ever written, in my opinion, the Shinshin Ming, the supreme way. What is the supreme way? Some of you have heard me screaming this for 2 years. What is the supreme way? Corin, what's the supreme way? That's right, see. Nothing outside of it. Your life. And all of your pimples, all of the piss and the blood and the shit that makes up your life. I remember once, the first time I heard that, a person that I was very fond of had come to some rather penetrating realization during a sesshin, and Roshi was sat up the first time I'd ever heard it, and it kind of shocked me. He says, even cat shit is Muji. Did you hear what he said? See? But I thought about that for a long time. That was a koan for me. See, that was really inconsistent with whatever little understanding I had. The cat shit could be Buddha. See, just didn't make it for me. See? But thankfully, see, this is a real living religion. Transforms those who are fearless. All inclusiveness with detachment. Don't be sticking to anything. It's your life you're living. Get on with it. Said, passing through the barrier and dropping off limitations, how could you be hindered by nodes in bamboo or knots in wood? This bamboo and this wood, you! Nodes, knots, flaws? No, not in the way. I remember, I don't know which book it is, Ram Dass, one of his books. I don't know whether it was in the Be Here Now or Just for the Mill. The Only Dancer is one of those, where he was so involved, and he'd grown up, you know, where they, and he talks about that, you know, that he, a lot of massive guilt, it was just built into the family tradition. And so he felt so stinky when he was working with the guru. See, he was just filled with all kinds of vile intentions, and terrible misdeeds, see. And I don't remember the dialogue because this was so long ago when I read it. But to the extent that, you know, he had all this stinky stuff and in some sense asked the guru, see, God, you know, what about an imperfect thing to me? So the guru looks him up and down. And he says, I see no imperfection. I see. How about it? How about all of us here? All of us. See, I include myself too in this. Do you have anybody you hate? Do you have anybody that you bitterly dislike? So much so that when they come into your presence, you freeze up emotionally. I'll bet you if I had Mr. Spock's mind reading ability, mind probing ability, I'll bet I can find it there. And if that's your condition, you're not practicing Buddha Dharma. You're kidding yourself. But don't be dismayed. There's hope. See, we're sentient beings. That's the mud of where we live. Dogen goes on to say, when even for a moment you express the Buddha's seal in the three actions, see, three actions, body, speech, and mind, see, by sitting upright in samadhi, the whole phenomenal world becomes the Buddha's seal and the entire sky turns into enlightenment. The whole phenomenal world, the whole sky, see, all directions, the seen and the unseen, vast emptiness. There's no place that this seal of the Buddha mind doesn't reach. Doesn't matter that you can't understand it. That's what they tell us. That's what he's talking about in the beginning. See, non-thinking. Well, Nyogen, I'm a little bit stuck with good old Western linear thought, rational thought. Okay, let me give you a coin. The finest scientist that you've ever known, whoever lived, walked on the face of the earth, and I include all of you in here and myself, you cannot truly comprehend the infinity. No beginning is beyond your intellect. And it doesn't care whether you're Stephen Hawking or David Bohm or Albert Einstein. All you have is some concepts about it. You cannot conceive of what that truly means. It is beyond conception. You doubt it? Look at the silly theories that they work with. Do you believe in eternal life? Well, we know that anybody who studies genetics, see, if your gene pool broke at any particular place, you would not be here. You'd be dead. It has flown, this life force has flowed from the first of the primordial pools of ooze in an unbroken chain of life to where you are today. There was no place that it broke. Don't you get that? If that life force had died at any place, had been cut, you wouldn't be sitting here listening to this. That's on the material plane. But wait a minute, what is that life force? See, well, the scientists, you know, they think that they sort of identify something that they, in a reasonable fashion, call matter. But you know they still haven't been able to find matter. They find emptiness. Literally, in the material world, they find emptiness. Life force. They have no more idea as to what that is. They're cloning folks now. Cloned a sheep. Put a partridge brain inside a chicken or some crazy thing, see? You know what it all tells me, see, that we truly are. We truly are in a degenerate age as we watch things spinning down. Do you for any moment believe the city's better today than it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago? This is our 30th anniversary. Do you know that you could have parked your cars out on the street with the windows down? I've done that, forget. And nobody would rip you off. I used to sleep out on the back lawn during Sesshin. You do that now and you got a pretty fair chance, even with our big fences, that you'll wake up with your throat cut. Actually, it's getting better here again a little bit. But do you really think, did you see the two armored guys, body armor, tearing it all up? Do you think that that's going to de-escalate? No, no, no. Now the police are going to have to arm heavy. And they do need to. But the bad guys who watched that said, hey, these guys, had they worn head protection, they might have been able to really slug it out, see? Do you think there's going to be a stop of AK-47s with armor-piercing bullets? And then the National Rifles, and don't, I come from ranch country. I mean, my dad still has big gun racks. My own gun was still there, see? But who in the hell can argue the point that you need an AK-47 with armor-piercing bullets because you're a hunter? What in the hell are they hunting? UFOs or something. It just staggers my mind, the mentality, see. Do we see what's going on around you? Dogen is going to suggest that we don't when we're in delusion, that we don't see reality, that we don't know truth. Because of this, when everything turns into enlightenment, everything turns into enlightenment. Because of this, all Buddha, Tathagatas, as the original source, increase their Dharma bliss. Are any of you sitting in bliss right now? Increase. You know, Dogen quite often talks about bliss. To frolic in a samadhi of bliss forever. Their Dharma bliss and renew their magnificence in the awakening of the way. What is the way? You're the way. Furthermore, all beings in the 10 directions and the 6 realms, see, gods, devas, human beings, fighting spirits, animals, hungry ghosts, and hell-dwelling beings. That means no matter how shitty you've been and where you find yourself at the bottom part of Dante's hell, you're not lost. You're not lost in Buddha Dharma. Said, furthermore, all beings in the 10 directions, it's everywhere, and at all levels of existence, see, all at once obtain pure body and mind. All at once. You don't have to pray for redemption. Isn't it fascinating? What an exquisite spiritual practice. You don't have to beg on your hands and knees that somebody in the sky, someplace in 100 years or 50 years, is going to save you. You take responsibility for yourself. You are totally responsible. As Suzuki said, after all, you're the center of gravity. All things. Hey, you know, this is a beautiful metaphor. All things revolve around this I. That's the center of gravity. What did Buddha said? I and I alone. And each one of you has to be able to say that. Furthermore, all beings in the 10 directions in the 6 realms at once obtain pure body and mind, realize the state of great emancipation, and manifest the original face. He goes on to say, now the realm of all Buddhas is inconceivable. Get it? That even if you have a scientific bent, you cannot grasp no beginning. It makes no sense to the rational mind. Did you read any of the scientific journals? They don't even get out there to play with that. They go blind and deaf. When they tell you of the boundaries of the universe, what would... Roshi was at I don't know if I've probably said this, I forget once, and I'm not quite sure which one of the physicists, but or astrophysicists, somebody had some dimensions for the universe. And Roshi loved numbers, big numbers. And he was sitting here and he started to read this, and they'd give him this newspaper clippings, and he went through it and he says, it's like 600 billion, trillion, jillion, dizillion, blah, 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 light years across. And then he just started laughing. And Roshi didn't do a lot of belly laughing. As you know, he tended to be rather serious. He just started laughing. And then his next comment, he says, what kind of a mind comes up with a number like that? See, it just stunned him. See, what does that mean? It doesn't mean anything. See. And we pay a lot of money to do that. And those of you who like to get into those things, pick up the Avatamsaka Sutra. See, they got a whole chapter that I can't even tell you what it is. It's just page after page after page of zero. See, and it just makes some sense. It doesn't make any sense, you know. See, it is inconceivable. It cannot be reached by consciousness. Much less can those who have no trust, who lack wisdom, know it. See, if you have no faith and no trust in it, it's an impossibility for you. You can't fake it. Because the person you're hustling is yourself. Oh, you can come in and try to hustle me. It doesn't matter. It has nothing to do with it. When we steal, we're a thief. That's all. If we're hustling the Dharma, we're hustling the Dharma. It's okay. I know I told you the story. I won't. Once a guy went in, a very clever guy with Roshi, see, the koan, and argued the point. And Roshi said, well, you know, you can fool me, but you cannot fool the Dharma. It's true. Who are you fooling? And I'll tell you what part of that problem is. I'll get to it, see. Only those who have right trust and great capacity can enter this realm. Trust in what? Trust in what, Corin? Yeah. That's the doorway. That's the doorway. It's you. Not me. I just happen to be the Dharma holder here. Desperately wanting to pass it on to somebody that can bring forth a living Buddha. It was entrusted to me. See, the people here, and I'm personally a little bit tired. I'm not anybody's therapist. I'm a little tired of transference. I have degrees in that field, and I rejected it because I didn't think much of it. And I don't think much of it today. But if you got trouble, you pick your nose in public, go to a behavioral modification specialist and have them recondition you, see? More appropriate behavior. I'm 100% before it. But don't come here looking for it. I'm also not your mother and father. You've abused them enough. Don't turn that on me, see? And I mean that. I'm not being flip with you. In Zen, they have a saying, see? You don't appreciate your parents until you've raised your own children. Young parent, is there anything more insufferable? How they have their children's lives mapped out in the most tolerant way. The fact is, when they hit the teens, you are passé. I was a full-blown hippie. And when my kids looked up and told me I'm out of step, I just couldn't believe it. You're not with it, Dad. I just couldn't believe that. I was the most with-it father in the world. I was with it till they hit 13. They went out, these beautiful children, and came in these strange creatures that I had never, ever been known before. See, those who have no trust will not accept it, however much they are taught. Those who have no trust will never accept it, no matter how much they're taught. See, isn't that interesting? Even, and what's his recommendation? And that's part of what will be occurring here in a certain sense. There's going to be changes. There's going to be changes. And also there's a very active, living body of practitioners here that I adore, that I commit myself totally to. See? But the rest of it I'm not too interested in. This center is being literally just, I turn it over to these people who value this thing, who can hear it. Do you think I'm being a little bit provocative here? I hope not. I'm trying to really give a talk that lifts you. See, to not trivialize the richest opportunity that can be presented to ascension being. He goes on to say, those who have no trust will not accept it however much they're taught. And he gives you a solution. He says, even at the assembly on Vulture Peak, there were those who were told by the Shakyamuni Buddha, you may leave if you wish. See? You may leave if you wish. If you have no trust and faith in this great way, if you somehow are still so delusional in your thinking that you think that the success or failure of your endeavor is going to rest on my shoulders, you may leave if you like. Perfectly all right. Great faith in the way. The study of Buddhism is to study the self, not to study the teacher, not to study your neighbor, not to sit around studying your unresolved conflicts with your parents. It's to study the self. Then what do I do then? You forget the self. That's what it means. To study the self means to forget your egocentric nature, the grasping, rejecting side of you, the continuously judging. Sit in samadhi, see? Sit in non-thinking. Again, if you try to understand that with your intellect, you will fail and you will not make it to first base. What did Dogen say? It is inconceivable. He goes on to say, we'll have all sorts of problems here, see. To look at letters but be ignorant of the way of practice is just like a physician forgetting how to prescribe medicine. What use can it be? People who chant all of the time are just like frogs croaking day and night in spring fields. Their effort will be of no use whatsoever. Silly posturing. It will be of no use whatsoever. But I'm gaining merit. That's your delusion. Even worse off are those who, deluded by name and gain, cannot give up such practices because their greed for gain is so deep. There were such people in the past. Are there not even more today? What a pity indeed. Now, for all of those for you, this is exquisite. This Dogen is exquisite. You shouldn't read this as a bit negative or hear this as a negative thing. If your practice isn't working, the fault rests with yourself. If you're simply looking for somebody to take responsibility for your life, Shakyamuni said, you may leave if you wish. No problem. Your life is not going to be trouble-free. Guarantee that you are going to face all sorts of catastrophes. I'm 61, and I can tell you this in all truth. The last 11 years of my life have been the worst 11 years, and I thought the first 20 were pretty rough. But the last 11 has been one continuous loss, severe loss for me, after another. Right up to the most recent, the loss of my teacher. See, I still haven't even had any time to grieve for him. And I just realized the other night I was lying in bed and thinking about it, you know, and I've just really impacted my chest, see, how deeply I miss my teacher. We're all going to have problems. You're going to have problems. If you understand Buddha Dharma to take you outside of your life, you still don't understand it. That's why it's exquisite. What does Dogen tell us? If you can penetrate into this most marvelous practice, see, it is a bliss. Does that mean there's no pain? Doesn't mean there's no pain. No, we can take that into the absolute, or we can stay in the relative. We can play When there's pain, there's just pain. There's no picking and choosing. Where there is no struggle, the way opens effortlessly. The great Rinzai master, Rinzai, see, what did he say? I can be reborn in hell, and I will turn it into a walk in the park, a picnic. There's koans that we work with that. We all sit down, and so long as our personal expectations are being met, then we have a beautiful practice. But whether if you're still so young that you don't have, and as near as I can determine, we really, there's a different sense of our own mortality at different ages. At 50, I had sort of a fix on it, but at 60, it really hits you that, hey, I'm playing in the, you know, probably in the ninth inning, see, of a ball game. See, I don't know, is that true for you, Jojen? 60 seemed to be really brought your, it brings the focus up. See, you just, oh, yeah, see, hey, my teacher, four years from now, see, I'll be the same age that when he died. A fair number of my friends have dropped along the way, see. What are you going to do, waste it? And I'll guarantee you when it's all said and done and you're lying there dying, you won't be too concerned about your profession, how eloquent you have been able to look. You'll have far more important matters. And probably you'll be cursing and say, why me? Why me? And that's the response, particularly of younger people. At least I've worked with several who were dying. And that's always the first question. Why me? Why me? I imagine Corin went through that when he was diagnosed with cancer. Why me? Why me? Why not you is a better question. See, why not you? What's so special about you? See, think about it. Why not? Makes good sense to me. It might as well be you as anybody. And we're all terminal anyway. See, it's great, isn't it? But I can tell you, see, that from another perspective, I would not change my life for anything, for any wealth, for any position. I am so totally grateful to my teacher who roughed me up continuously and never ever gave me the luxury of allowing me to come in and whine. If I'd have done that, I'd have probably got punched in the face by him. But somehow I learned that that's not Zen practice, coming in and whining. Have the guts just to stand up and keep coming straight ahead. That's how you practice. And then approach it, you know, from a very, very smart angle. Pay attention to the words. You can understand them. It's you that you're working on. It's not outside of you. It only needs to be realized. And you realize that by penetrating through, cutting off the flow of discriminating consciousness. That can be done.